Good morning, Your Honors. Joaquin, may I please record? My name is Joaquin McCoy. I represent my office and myself in this appeal. I want to reserve 2 minutes rebuttal, okay. If I may. This appeal is from an order from the district court awarding attorney's fees to the Schneider & Waddles law firm for a submission of a letter brief regarding declaratory relief. It's our position that the award of attorney's fees to Schneider & Waddles is an abuse of discretion, and the order must be reversed because there is no case authority that would deem class representatives third-party beneficiaries to a class counsel's co-counseling agreement. The trial court deemed the class representatives prevailing parties in the dispute with my office relating to fees on settlement of individual claims. Now, to give the court history as to how this all came about, is that I was retained by approximately 30 employees at FedEx, from FedEx, to represent their interests on various claims against the company. Race discrimination, gender discrimination, retaliation, wrongful discharge. I decided from meeting the clients that it could possibly be a class action lawsuit relating to the lack of promotional opportunities based on race, that they also were individual claims from these plaintiffs that were separate and apart from the class claims. For example, if you had, I had a client, Kalina Boykin, for example, who had a gender discrimination claim. That gender discrimination claim had nothing to do with race. It had to do with her being a female in the workplace. Well, that gender claim would not be a class claim. It wouldn't be a race claim. So what I decided is that I should put a team of lawyers together. I embarked on this endeavor to get class counsel to help me on the class claims. And I did so. So I got a group of attorneys together and believed that this group could adequately represent the members of the class as well as any class reps that would represent the class members.
Counsel, Judge Ilston complimented you. She thought that you had performed a minor miracle here in turning the settlement around after your trial. But unlike Parker in the last appeal, you're not complaining about what the judge did. You clearly signed on to the settlement. You clearly signed on to the class settlement issue. That's all I'm getting.
Oh.
You didn't like what the judge did, of course, here. But in this case, how do you dispute the argument that Wallace makes that we were, in fact, defending the clients? We weren't representing ourselves. We were, in fact, defending the clients because out of your fees, the total, you have to pay Wallace. That's what it cost the clients to defend against what you were seeking additionally.
Okay. Well, I disagree with the court's view of what had taken place. And I did.
That's Judge Ilston's view, of course.
Judge Ilston's view, and that's why we're before the court today. I did object to how the arrangement with respect to how Judge Ilston precluded me from getting my fee on the non-class claims early on. And that was appealed, and this court indicated that I shouldn't get paid any more money because I had this co-counseling agreement with class counsel. And that's all in good for now. I mean, that's what the court looked
at. The bridge. It's in other words, you agreed and it covered the ballpark. It just wasn't related to the class.
Right. But what here, the question is whether Mr. Wallace and his firm can get fees on a claim where the court decided that the class representatives were the prevailing parties. He said that his agreement with me allows him to get, that he was a prevailing party and that he should get attorney's fees from our contract. Well, the problem here is that the court, Judge Ilston, deemed that the representatives were the prevailing parties in the declaratory relief, not the Wallace firm. And in fact, when Mr. Wallace filed his motion for attorney's fees, which is in the record, he specifically states,
In other words, Judge Ilston said they were the prevailing party in the dispute regarding the fees, and they, Wallace, is representing those clients. Therefore, that's what he's going to say when he stands up here. How do you contradict that?
Well, the problem is that the only way you can get attorney's fees is by contract and by statute. class counsel, myself, as well as Mr. Wallace and all the class counsel that I put together, had an agreement, a separate agreement, with those representatives for the case. And in that agreement, which is supposed to be here, not the agreement between Mr. Wallace and I, did not call for attorney's fees. There is no provision that gives the class reps attorney's fees for any work or any dispute that arises and whoever is deemed the prevailing
party. So you're just saying there's no statutory or contract provision regarding this dispute?
That's correct.
Well, see what he says. I guess everything you've said sounds like you're trying to give us a background, but let's get to the point.
Okay.
Let's look at the co-counsel agreement.
Right.
Co-counsel agreement is what Judge Ilston is looking at.
Right.
The co-counsel agreement says that what it says. I mean, I'm looking at it, and it says that at this point, the only reason they're seeking a reimbursement from you is because you wanted fees you weren't entitled to get.
Okay.
And they were having to defend about it.
All right, Your Honor, that's true. That's what the court said. But the problem here is that I had...
Didn't you seek fees that under the co-counsel agreement you weren't entitled to get?
No, well, I sought fees, Your Honor, but the thing is that I was entitled to, the court said I wasn't, but I was entitled to the fee because it related to non-class claims. It wasn't related to class claims, and that's why everything with Judge Ilston went south, because I said, all right, if you say that I'm not entitled...
So are you agreeing then that SW is what I call them, are you agreeing then that they are acting on behalf of the interests of the plaintiffs?
I'm saying that they were acting on behalf of themselves. And
well, but it's the plaintiffs that wanted, that you were going after fees from.
The dispute.
And they were trying to keep you from getting those fees from the plaintiffs. Isn't that true?
That's true.
And so they were helping the plaintiffs in that particular situation.
That's true, Your Honor.
And then in helping the plaintiffs on that kind of a situation, they threw in the co-counsel agreement, and they said the reason you shouldn't get it is because of the co-counsel agreement and that they're third-party beneficiaries of that agreement. That's what they suggested, right?
Well, they didn't suggest that in their opening brief, Your Honor. They waited until the reply to raise that issue.
Well, it doesn't matter. But in any event, I'm just trying to suggest that it seems to me that this agreement, the co-counsel agreement, is the agreement on which they want to base their defense of plaintiffs. And you went after plaintiffs, and so it seems to me the co-counsel agreement is dead on.
Your Honor, the co-counseling agreement is not dead on because the court said the prevailing party was the class representatives. There was a separate agreement for the class representatives. If there was an issue that was raised from the class representatives, it had to pertain to the agreement. When the co-counseling agreement was entered into by the class counsel, we didn't even know who the class representatives would be. They hadn't even been chosen. So to say that they were intended third-party beneficiaries is untrue. And we already had a separate agreement with them. The co-counseling agreement related to what I would get because I was I brought them in. It was 6% off the top. There was Lodestar that the attorneys could get Lodestar. The class representatives could not enforce that contract to their benefit at all. The benefit of the class counsel agreement was for class counsel, not the class representatives, and that is the point here. The problem is that when I went to try to get my fee for the non-class claims, I had a valid claim there because, and I think the court was nerved because I said, well, all right, if the class representatives are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, then those amounts should be in the notice, should have been in the notice to the class members so they know that their class representatives are getting way more of an incentive payment than they should be. And so in punishing me for bringing that issue up, because as we all know, there's case law that says the class reps can't get a disproportionate amount of money for representing the class. And here, if the class representatives at the time of settlement of the class knew that they were getting and sharing $2.7 million, that had to have been separate. Because if not, then there should have been notice to the class members that they were going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of the class members only got $175. Derek Satchel, the class rep, got $600,000. Judge Ilson sealed the record So nobody, the public, could find out what the class members got in settlement.
Is that a veiled suggestion on this conduct by Judge Elston?
Your Honor, I'm not saying that. I'm saying these are the facts. And when I brought the issue before, when I was raising the issue that they were separate and that my fee should have came out of the non-class claims, this court didn't investigate. And I, in my papers, when I briefed it, I raised the issues. And I said that the notice.
This seems off to one side of the question now in front of us. You've just used all your time. Let's hear from the other side.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm just going to argue from here, if that's okay.
Yeah, just keep your voice up.
Okay.
And could you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, Guy Wallace for the plaintiffs. I don't think I have much to add. The district court got it just right. We were put in the position of having to defend the named plaintiffs from the attempt to recover additional fees from them.
Now, if my understanding is right, the fees that were at issue were the fees that Mr. McCoy said represented to Judge Elston he was not seeking and would not seek. Are those the fees we're talking about?
Well, how I understand it is as follows. We got to the end of the class case. There were class claims, non-class claims, all of them had been litigated together. And there was a very substantial class settlement, both monetarily in terms of injunctive relief. And those counsel who wish to receive an award of reasonable fees and costs put in their application to the district court at that time. And yes, there was no indication in that submission from Mr. McCoy or anyone else that they would be seeking additional fees from the named plaintiffs in connection with settlement and individual claims. And there were very substantial fee awards to counsel, including Mr. McCoy, and frankly, my firm. And that was sufficient to address all of the time and costs that went into that election. Subsequently, Mr. McCoy took the position that on top of that award of fees, which was in the amount of $1,070,000 in his firm, he wanted an additional $1 million that was going to come out of the individual claim settlements of the class representatives. The class representatives were very upset, understandably, and talked to us about this. And we represented their interests. We interpreted the attorney retainer agreement and the co-counsel agreement, which were in parallel with each other on the key provision, which is, if you want fees, you're going to have to apply to the district court for them. You're going to receive an award of reasonable fees from the district court, and that's going to be it. And we then, of course, had a whole dispute about what that meant that ultimately came in its way in front of Your Honors, with Your Honors affirming Judge Elston. So clearly, the named plaintiffs and class representatives, they were the real parties in interest. We undertook the role of representing them. We prevailed and we prevented.
And what is the basis, contractual or statutory, for awarding prevailing party fees to you? Assuming that you're right, that you represented the class reps.
We believe it's contractual, Your Honor.
And in which agreement?
There is a fee provision in the co-counsel agreement, but both the attorney retainer agreement and the co-counsel agreement contain the same core provision that was at issue, which is you're going to be making the fee application to the district court, and you shall receive the fees that are reasonable from the district court or from the Ninth Circuit.
And it's on that basis, contractual basis, that Judge Elston gave you fees as prevailing party and with the assumption that you're representing the class representatives.
That is correct. I don't think we have more to add.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McCoy, you went over, but we will give you 1 minute to respond.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. First of all, Your Honor, the co-counseling agreement was not signed by any of the plaintiffs or class reps in the case. Secondly, I didn't know that the individual settlements had happened, so I could not have advised the court that I was going to get additional monies from the non-class claims because I didn't know about it. Mr. Wallace kept me and the other attorneys went to Memphis and in Atlanta and settled the case while I, because I had a conflict in my schedule. I didn't know the individual claims had been settled. If so, I would have informed the court of that. But they did, and they didn't tell the court. I would have. I had
no. Now it sounds as though you're accusing them of misconduct.
No, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, Your Honor. I'm just telling the court what the facts are, and the court can do its own investigation. The court can look at the record. The court can see that the trial court sealed the record. Now, this is supposed to be transparency. This is a class action lawsuit. The public is supposed to go to the record and find out how much class representatives got if they're representing class members. Class members should also be able to find out through the court's record how much class representatives received. Now, I'm not saying misconduct to anybody, but I would hope that the court would investigate this matter further because it's all in the record.
You know, you've just used up your minute.
Thank you,
Your Honor. I'll give you one sentence if you want it.
Okay. Your Honor, I think that this issue should be, this matter, this order of the trial court should be reversed because there's no case law that says that a class representative is a third party beneficiary to a co-counseling agreement. If so, it would be a floodgate of folks coming in here. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Case of McCoy v. FedEx 10-15197 is submitted.